Warning: some of the language in these videos is not censored and may be considered slightly offensive to some viewers.
Homosexual, and not in like the good kind of gay way, but just the kind of cringy, you know, West Hollywood homosexual vibes, unfunny, not really original, and also sort of pathetic. When I watch videos like that, I don't really know how to respond. It's a combination of just total cringe fest and also feeling bad that people not only wasted their time designing the costumes, writing that music, but that Stephen Colbert actually probably still thinks he's a comedian. It's really sad. Phil Labonte, the vocalist for All That Remains, joins me slightly offensive for the first time. I mean, what do you think about that?
It makes me think about my stance on aggressive violence.
I don't know. Are you one of these guys? Do you have a strong opinion on the vaccine? I mean, are you like big that you got it and you really wanted it, or you really don't want to get it?
I got vaccinated, and it's something that every individual should make the decision. The government shouldn't be telling people you have to. There are too many possible issues that people can have with it. You know, problems that would be, you know, solved by their doctor or discussed with their doctor. This administration push by, you know, the whole cathedral to get people to be vaccinated, I think is reprehensible.
Yeah, it's really weird too. And also, I think this, with the propaganda that they use to push the vaccine on the vaccine, they use the word hesitant, which hesitant is already a cope because they're actually vaccine resistant. Mm-hmm. Like they use the word hesitant to make them feel like all we need to do is just use a little more Stephen Colbert dancing with transgender vaccine characters and boom, you know, that black guy who doesn't trust his doctor is going to get the vaccine.
Yeah, it's ridiculous on its face. The efficacy of the vaccines has been in flux, at least the narrative about the efficacy of the vaccine has been in flux for the better part of the past 9 months or so, 8 months or so. So it's completely reasonable for someone to say, you know what, I don't know that the vaccine is right for me. And this push by the establishment to demonize people that would make a different decision about their healthcare and their life is, again, the word that just keep coming to my mind is reprehensible. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to get into this. Obviously, you saw YouTube came out strong today, came out hardcore, dick swinging. And if you can go to my screen here, random person, because you guys know this, actually, Sav actually died. No, I'm just kidding. From boredom. Sav's actually here. Sav is not dead.
What's up, guys? I survived. Here I am in the flesh. What's up?
Sav is back. We're gonna get into this stuff. But I just want to know, YouTube, yeah, came out dick swinging. And they said now they are redefining their medical misinformation policy. They are going to ban prominent anti-vaccine activists and block all anti-vaccine content. We're not talking about just the COVID vaccine. We're talking about all vaccines, period. And we're going to get into this and a lot more coming up on this episode. Episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color. It's pronounced COC. Give a little COC to the face of Phil there. I don't know if you've had that near your face for a while now. I don't think. There you go. A little bit of Sav. A huge shout out and a thank you to one of you guys that we want to say for sending us custom burned artwork. Sav, can you show it? You guys took one of Sav's pictures where she got maced in the face and had white stuff coming down her face, and you made that into a permanent piece of art.
And
wow.
It is called Sav Simp Dream. So thank you so much for that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Nothing says family-friendly show like a permanent wood burned piece of a young woman with white cream on her face. Interesting. Well, I got to say this. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I am your top 18 host. And we are obviously in a very, very dark time. And like I said, this is Phil Labonte. And he is joining us. He's an amazing musical artist. And, you know, in all of this that's going on, I mean, where the hell are we that we've come down to some weird kid who went to school in science and some guy, I mean, what would you call yourself? Like heavy metal band?
Yeah.
Band. Some guy from a heavy metal band, a successful band, are sitting in a room coming to the same conclusion. Like, what the f*** is happening?
I don't know. It's confusing. It sometimes keeps me up at night. The idea that the people in the music industry and in the entertainment industry are carrying water for the establishment, just as a concept, doesn't matter whether it's a right leaning or a left leaning establishment. Just the fact that they're are people in the arts and people that are always or that have historically been thought of as independent thinkers and stuff that are just out there carrying water for the corporate government establishment is mind blowing to me. And I don't know what to make of it.
It was honestly when Rage Against the Machine said that they were going to play, you know, venues that were for vaccinated people only, that I realized there was an intense problem in our society.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. Rage Against the Machine to me has for a long time been not really against conformity. They've just been anti-American, which if that's your thing, I'm okay with people that have issues that they want to raise with America or with,
but you maybe know, change your band name at that point.
You're not raging against anything except for like mom and dad,
the copy machine maybe or something like that.
Especially the one up here, the pro-government machine.
Yeah. No, I know. And we're going to talk about that, but I got to let you guys know, you know, obviously things are unpredictable and we're talking a lot about the madness and the insanity that's going on. And a lot of you guys are just starting out in life. You're buying a home, you're starting a family. And unfortunately, you really don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't know whether you're going to get a car accident. I mean, we should probably ban cars because over a million people, you know, often die every year from car accidents. Apparently, we're so afraid of death that we forgot to actually prepare for it in a real way rather than just running around freaked out, which is why I got to talk to you about Trust and Will. Now, at trustandwill.com, setting up an estate plan is simple and convenient. And if you think you don't need something like that, you're going, what's the point of that? I don't need that. Well, think about this. For as little as $39, you can nominate things like guardians for your children. And yes, your dog and your pets too. Some of you guys, by the way, Gus did die, our hamster that I gave to Sav. And so, you know, who knows if Gus didn't die before me and I wanted to figure out where to put Gus, you got to make sure you have a plan in place for that as well. And you can determine who gets your stuff. You don't know who's going to get your MyPillow. Those things are hot commodities. You can't buy them in stores anymore. And on a more important thing as well, it's also about who plans your future medical care. This is a big thing. So when you think about an estate plan, this is not just finding out like, oh, well, I'm young and whatever, I'll just do whatever I want with my stuff and I'll just give away my, you know, Mazda Miata from 1999 when I die. No, imagine you're like on your deathbed and there's no plan put aside for when to pull the plug, how to treat your health if you can't breathe or if you're, you know, put into a coma or something like that. I mean, you really have to have this set up and willing to take care of you. And I know that they have live customer service 7 days a week and they're also available to answer any questions. So for about $39, if you want to find the best way to set up and take care of your life and to prepare for the future, trust me, don't wait. It's not even a big amount of money there, and it never hurts to be prepared. Go to trustandwill.com/SO. That's trustandwill.com/SO and get 10% off plus free shipping of your customized legal documents they will send to you. Again, that's trustandwill.com/SO and get 10% off plus free shipping of your customized documents that they will send to you with the most trusted name online of estate planning. It's really good. So obviously we're not dead yet.
Black-pilled advertising. I like that.
Yeah. We're always selling guns, ways to conceal your identity online, nice. Body armor, food prep, and like things for if you die or if you like lose limbs, like that's where we're at.
All things that are very useful.
Yeah, we don't sell bullshit here.
Yeah, there's no reason to promote bullshit.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about this. So obviously we were just talking before we got on here. We started a new show. You're coming on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be on tomorrow night as well. Mm-hmm. So you're with us for a couple days. And last night we are back on air. We're back on YouTube, but we were gone for a little while because YouTube said that we violated their medical misinformation policy. This is already a weird era of life where we're in a place where we use phrases like medical misinformation based off of my crime was questioning questioning the efficacy of masks and how effective they are against preventing the spread of COVID-19. And apparently they said you're not allowed to do that, and that is against their rules, that it's against their laws, and it was enough for them to cut off revenue for multiple days and try to actually delete our channel. And it's so weird, like you said, in the day and age where the biggest purveyors and the people carrying the gauntlet for these censors and these tyrants has become the platforms and the creators of the arts and media. And I'm like, where the hell did we get to that these people became against freedom, against liberty, when just like 10 years ago they were all about free the nipple and let me say the F word on TV, and now they're about how much you can, you know, submit and subject me to ruling from the government.
I have no idea how it happened. Like I said earlier, it is something that is so foreign to me. I've been the kind of dude that's like, I've always been kind of a go your own way kind of guy. Like, as soon as I like was starting to fit in somewhere, I was kind of like, maybe I'm not in the right spot or whatever. And I think that that's something that has historically been, been the area of artists and creative people, trying to push the boundaries. And I don't know how to kind of digest that it's no longer where the artists are and the creative people. And if they are, or if it is still the domain of creative people, they have been so cowed by the powers that be that Nicki Minaj saying, you know, hey, you should talk to a doctor and know about yourself before you get the vaccination gets the president or the White House involved. I mean, the White House literally, made a comment saying, hey, we'll put someone in touch with Nicki Minaj because she's out here throwing a wrench in our narrative and our propaganda, or, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what's so strange is if we go to this article, like we're talking about with the way celebrities in Hollywood are carrying this. I always think it's weird, too. They call it TV programming. I know, because they're technically it's programming electronically. Mm. But if you think about it, you start to see through the cracks today how much these people have been sold out or have become dead to reality because of the lifestyle. They're out of touch with America. They're not people representing what we want or what we need. They're just looking out for their own corporate interests. And if you look at this from MSN.com, this is a really interesting point. I mean, it says that YouTube is taking down several video channels associated with high-profile anti-vaccine activists. I love how they call them anti-vaccine activists, including Joseph Mercola and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who experts say are partially responsible for helping seed the skepticism that's contributed to slowing vaccination rates across the country. So obviously, they have no way to measure that. They have no way to prove that. They're just saying, look, here's a couple people that we don't like, and we're blaming them for slowing down the vaccination rates. If you can put up Colbert's video with no sound, Savannah, to me, that slows down the vaccination rates. When you do stuff like this, you're telling people who aren't vaccinated that they're retarded.
It's cringy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you think we're stupid. And that's what I feel like is making people hesitant. They go, well, this is stupid. I don't want to get involved in this bullshit.
I think that what you're saying, it speaks to a lot of things that you see in the culture war and you see on, you know, on the internet or on Twitter, or people that are extremely online or whatever. There is a my team, your team idea out there. And if you are against Donald Trump and things that they associate with Trumpism, then you have to be pro Joe Biden. And I see it all the time when you criticize someone on one team, people will just jump in and say, well, what about the other team? And it's not conducive to actual dialogue or understanding or anything. It's all just team sports dunking on each other. You know, and I think you're right that the stuff like Colbert looking like a fool alienates people that are, you know, that are already hesitant and don't want to, you know, just fall in line.
Yeah. And I think from the earlier point about the idea of using the word hesitant, we're resistant, like people who don't want to take it. There's a group of people who just aren't going to take it regardless. Yeah. Like you said, there are people who took it for their own choice because they believe it was the right thing for them to do.
Yeah.
And there are the same group of people who go, I think this is not the right thing for me to do. And you have to let people make those choices in a society.
Those people aren't as aggressive about their opinion either. The people that are really aggressive trying to coerce you are the people that think that you should take it. The people that are like, nah, I just don't want to. They're just like, hey, leave me out. I don't want to, you know, they're not trying to influence people to not take it. They're not out there trying to pass laws saying, oh, you can't have the vaccination. It's about the people that want to force you to, and the people that just want to decline. And that, mm-hmm. that, in my opinion, that inherently means that there is a good side and a bad side. The side that wants to force you to take something that you don't want to, they can never be the good guys. They can never be in the right if they're trying to force people to do things. If you have to use the power of the state, you can never, historically, you can look back and it's almost never the people that are trying to force you that are quote unquote the good guys, you know?
It's like with Trump when he got banned off of Twitter. And one of the most famous quotes that I read was, it was never the good guys that were censoring and banning people from public speech.
Absolutely.
Just so you know, you call them dictator and dictator and dictator. Dictators don't get censored. They censor.
Yep.
And so it's an interesting problem that we have right now where that's my take too. I walk around and I tell people the only people that I say are dumb when they get the vaccine is people who get it when they think it's bad for them and they feel coerced and pressured. Because I go, that's a bad reason to do anything is because you're coerced and pressured. If you think it's good for you and you want to get it, I'll be damned. Go do what you want. My dad thought it was perfect for his health. He even had COVID. I told him I didn't think that he needed it. That's my own personal opinion. That's not medical consensus. His doctor told him he should get it. He got it. And he asked me what I thought. I go, well, it doesn't matter. It's not my body. That's what you wanted to do. Yeah. We go on with our life. On the flip side, I don't get vaccinated. My sister won't even let me in her house.
That's
like, we can't even have holidays together.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's a terrible, terrible thing.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference. It's like, my dad is like, well, I don't know. I mean, if I was you, I probably wouldn't have gotten it, but that's you and you got it. I'll see you next month.
Yeah.
My sister, it's like, we can't have a relationship because you're not vaccinated.
You can't see my kid or you can't see your nephews or
yeah, that's where we're at.
You hear that kind of stuff all the time. And it is a terrible development. And it's, I personally lay all the blame on the media and the federal government, the government trying to coerce people into doing things that they don't want to do.
Yeah. And you know, okay, this tying this back to what you were saying and we were talking about with Hollywood carrying the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. This is so crazy. So I posted about this with YouTube online. I posted this on Twitter. And of course, I have my own slant to things. I write things in a certain way. That's true. It's unabashed. But I just said, you know, YouTube is imposing harsher restrictions on vaccine information. And the reason why I didn't call it misinformation is because that's a very subjective word, mm-hmm. right? A lot of these people have studies and evidence of why they're saying what they're saying. And to categorize everything that disagrees with big pharmaceuticals' stance on things as misinformation is already a tricky word.
Yep.
There's either truth or lies. There's mm-hmm. fact or fiction. Misinformation, missing context, all these weird things that they've added put us in this loophole of like, misinformation can also mean the wrong information. And that's what I already think is weird, is that the policy starts out by saying kind of like, it doesn't mean you're wrong or you don't have a study to back it up, but it's what goes against the medical consensus, our medical consensus, the doctors that we've pre-approved.
It's just who is in control of the narrative. There's a push to control what is and is not acceptable discourse. And the big tech companies have jumped both feet into that. I suppose as much as Twitter catches a lot of flack, I suppose Twitter is probably better than Facebook and Instagram, but probably not much better. And there is definitely an effort to control the narrative, control what information people share. If there's anything that looks authoritative but that doesn't line up with the approved agenda or approved narrative, that's suppressed. That gets a missing context tag, like you said, or it gets a link attached to it on Instagram saying, here's the official narrative about COVID and about vaccinations, et cetera, and stuff. I mean, just the way that they treat, you can see just the way that they treat ivermectin. Like, I don't know anything about the dumb drug, right? I've done no studying on it. But if you talk about it, someone is going to take your face and put a horse on it. That's just the narrative that goes along. Oh, it's horse medicine. Yeah. It's not that. It's not about ivermectin. It's not about whether or not it works for humans. Never mind the Nobel Prize that it won in 2015. Never mind the fact that it's used currently when people come into the country.
Remember hydroxychloroquine was fish tank cleaner?
Yeah, fish tank cleaner.
And it's like, oh, what are you, a goldfish? You're yeah. Like, what the hell are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. It's a way, it's as if they intend to discredit anyone that has the audacity to say something that is outside, out of step with the official narrative.
Dehumanizing.
Exactly. Absolutely. Even when they're saying things that are completely and totally unobjectionable to the... To most people, it's just a matter of, oh, this doesn't line up, so we have to discredit them. We have to make them look bad, make them look foolish. And they really are attacks on private citizens from the media, which we've seen, you know. Oh, that's Juju Mufu.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, guys. I saw my opportunity and I took it.
It's great.
Not serious.
It's great. Juju Mufu is awesome.
Yeah, for our blind viewers, by the way, which are people listening on podcasts, remember, we're really growing the online podcasting. Just don't forget to download this audio only. We were talking about this earlier. You can get the podcast. It's free to download, and it really helps us out, especially when we're banned on YouTube and stuff. Not only are we on Blaze TV, but if you don't have a Blaze TV subscription, you always can get the audio of the show, so you won't ever miss it whenever we get randomly suspended. That's true. And we also read the reviews at the end, which is kind of cool. Leave a good review. Let us know what you thought about Phil, by the way. His whole life's dependent upon his performance here today. So he really told me that earlier. He goes, I'm going to cry if people don't leave me good reviews.
I have to get at least the same positive reviews about this as I did last week on Tim's show.
Yeah, and I heard it was really good. I didn't watch it yet, but I'm really excited for tonight. And I want to continue on with this, too. Like, as we go with this, I wrote something, and this is interesting. I go, with complaints of harsh overreach and blatant censorship, which I think has been the normal complaint from people against tech companies.
Sure.
Like, I didn't say just censorship. I made the distinction between harsh overreach, meaning people feel like these companies are taking on more to control speech and society. That may not be considered censorship, maybe even be legal, but it's overreached in terms of what we want as a society of saying... Why are you telling, you know, me one idea is like you could say for 4 years that there's Russia collusion and Trump is not the president. But if you talk about and you say, you know, the big F word about the last election, and I'm not talking about fortified, you'll get banned.
Yeah.
So it was like it was cool for 4 or 5 years to talk about elections being stolen. And everyone said it was stolen by the Russians. It was collusion with Putin. And then now it's like, hey, now that's illegal. Now that our guy's in power, like that's the harsh overreach.
It is treated as if it's almost a law. You will get... You know, there will be repercussions if you hold the wrong opinion, even if it only means, some blue check mark on Twitter is going to start digging into your past, looking to see if you said some naughty word or donated to the wrong candidate or something like that to try to start some kind of mob to go after you, which is standard procedure nowadays, it's frightening and disgusting. But, you know. There aren't very many journalists anymore. They're activists. And if they write a piece that goes after a private citizen who, you know, maybe has the wrong opinion or is somehow ignorant of something they decide that they should not be ignorant of. And then you'll get, you know, multiple outlets writing pieces about this very bad person. And it's reflective of the times, but it's really not good to see that just having either a misinformed or a poorly informed opinion means that there are going to be people that are literally going to attack you. They're going to go after your, they're going to go and, you know,
your
hit
money
up your,
first,
hit
first
up your
for
job.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't, people think we're immune to that. This is what's interesting is that we've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of sponsorships this year from people going after us. They've taken away all monetization on this channel, on my Facebook channel. They've gotten so many companies to abandon me. I mean, I made one tweet about Kyle Rittenhouse and, one of my big sponsors dropped me as well. And it's just people are such they're so weak. And honestly, that's why it's saying they go, well, you can't get fired. This is your job. Yes, I can get fired. If I lose all revenue, I don't have a job. It's not going to get fired. I just can't operate my business. So that's like saying to someone who owns a company, oh, well, you can't get fired. Yes, they can. That's why they work around the clock, because if you lose the revenue stream, then they lose their income as well.
Yep.
So it works from the top to the bottom. We all can. And that's why I say that after they had been accused, this is so important that the tech platform doubled down on their policies and further tightened the rein. I said the whip. I was a little joke to the southern border since we're calling it the whip on freedom of speech. And I even pretext this at my favorite comments to these are losers defending big tech stifling free speech because they are private companies. Like they have more power than government. So I cited WAPO Washington Post talked about this as well. And it's interesting, because I know that people are going to say, oh, well, YouTube could do this. Stop bitching. Stop complaining. It's just a private company. But Washington Post brought this up. Look at this. It said, this is their quote. But as the companies increasingly have come under fire from regulators, lawmakers, and regular users for contributing to social ills, including vaccine skepticism, YouTube is again changing policies that it has held on to for months. Little clause that they're changing their policies because of regulators and lawmakers, because of the government.
Yeah.
So the government is pressuring them. So the it's like, it's just like saying, well, technically there's no vaccine mandate. OSHA is just a regulatory agency. There's no laws. It's a mandate through a regulatory agency. It's finding loopholes to do your dirty work.
Yeah.
It's saying, well, you can't, the government can't just silence people who they don't like that go against their narrative on vaccines. So where do people talk? Well, in these tech platforms, where do people access information? On these sites. And people always say, well, then why do you care so much about YouTube? The reason why we care is because we're not trying to just be in an echo chamber. There's over a billion users on YouTube. It's the second most accessed website in the world. And it's also a search engine, not even a social media site where people go for all types of information. And we want people to have access to the truth. Yep. We're not just trying to have our careers and make a little money and have 10 people in a room. We're trying to make sure people have free access to information where they go to access it. Isn't that the whole argument for healthcare and abortions and contraceptives and the whole reason why we need access, right? You need condoms in school. You need sex ed because the kids need access to things in order for it to work. So if we want people to have this information, it needs to be there. And so when you look at this, you go, damn, this administration, they've talked about this, are the ones they're admitting here are behind the pressure to do this stuff to us.
And it's also a means for businesses and corporations that want to absolve themselves of the responsibility. They can say, well, you know, look, you know, the government wants us to, and they may not have had a law there or whatever, but you know, it's what the government's going to end up doing. So just go ahead and get it. And really, I also think that there is an effort to create two kind of, you know, groups in society. There are the people that don't want to get vaccinated that will be, you know, essentially left behind and looked at as like second class citizens. And it's the government using corporations to do its dirty work. Absolutely.
Yeah. And this is what's so crazy is I call this out ahead of time saying people always say it's a private company. When really, if you're smart, it's not really a private company when it's being controlled by the government like that.
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, there's constitutional precedent about the First Amendment, the government using private means to do things like stifle the freedom of speech and whatever. That's prohibited to the federal government by the Constitution. If I understand correctly, I don't know the Supreme Court case, but. If I understand correctly, the government using private industry to do things the government is not allowed to do is also unconstitutional.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of interesting, specifically that the guy who says this, if you go to my screen, it's like, of course, this guy John Fugelsang says a private company not letting you use their online platform because you violate their terms is not censorship. And of course, I just said like clockwork. I love these guys. You can predict it. He's like, Elijah, it's still true. But if you go to his page, it's like comedian, actor, broadcaster. This is my question. I don't know this guy's politics. I don't know if he's a leftist. I don't know exactly where he stands. He looks like he's a pretty free-spirited guy. Probably 20 years ago would have been kind of a badass. Probably cool to go drink a beer with, maybe smoke a joint or something. I don't know. Probably had it. Hopefully he's sober now. Probably had a hard couple decades with alcohol. But now he became a corporate shill, and he's out there. These guys that look cool, that are like, you know, he's got his hair long. This is against the grain. Don't want to live the suburban lifestyle. I've been there, done that. Are out here being like running PR campaigns for big tech companies. Like, dude, what a loser.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying that. Like, you're also stupid because you're going, oh, well, it's a private company. Brother, think beyond this. Open your brain. What happened to these people being the people telling people like me? Bro, open your brain. The fact that like a right winger on a conservative network is being more against corporations than you are kind of throws me off politically. Like, when did these leftists become corporate, like, ambassadors?
When they got in control of the cathedral. As long as when the left is in control of most media production and most of the government, and has such a stranglehold on culture in the U.S. and stuff, they don't have the incentive to try to be anything other than authoritarian and shove their opinions down people's throats. So it's just a matter of they're in positions where they are in control, and so they're going to use, you know, the force of government to implement their ideas.
Yeah, and I always I have a really hard time pronouncing this person's name. Is that McAuliffe? Is that how you say it, Savannah?
I would imagine so. McAuliffe?
McAuliffe. Yeah. Okay. So obviously we're talking here about like the people being out of touch. This is what's happened is as they've gotten into power, the Terry McAuliffe, I think that's how you pronounce it, that is here being asked specifically about, you know, school and school choice, says in this clip that he's at the point, not just with critical race theory, with people challenging the government, that he doesn't believe that parents should have a say in what schools teach their children. I want you to play this clip, and I want to talk about the implications of this.
Veto books, Glenn. Not to be knowledgeable about it. Also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. But, you know.
Yeah, so that's obviously Governor Terry McAuliffe. I just have a hard time saying that. Talking about with what's going on in the schools, saying our schools are about us indoctrinating and teaching you. And while you would think of school being a subsidiary collective of people in an area using their hard-earned money and taxes to provide an education that they want for their kids that they see to be fit, he is changing the structure, saying, well, now that we're in power, once your kids are in here, we're in control, and you don't have a say-so once they enter these doors, which makes the school system and all these institutions no longer about the representation of the people, but these are indoctrination factories. And that's what you see is going on here. It's like, we're in power.
Yes.
Your kids are, when they're with us, you don't have the authority to say anything. We are going to indoctrinate your children.
Yes. Abolish the Department of Education entirely. Mm-hmm. The whole bureaucracy. Get rid of it. It was created in, I believe, 1979, and it has been a failure every year since its inception. It spends more money every single year. The test scores that our students, or the students in the United States, have are continuously going down. Abolish it. Get rid of it. Just cut it all out. Let schools be local. To reference McCullough's point, that is a typical leftist perspective, that the children are not your children. They are the country's children. It is putting the state before the family. It is every bit as authoritarian, totalitarian authoritarian as you can get. It's every bit as bad as communists or Nazis were when they wanted to get the kids away from the parents. And it's totalitarian because they want to shape their opinions. They want to shape what they think before they are, I guess, spoiled by the parents or whatever.
Yeah, so. And it makes me a bit nervous, because the reason why I got confused there on what it said, because it said that this was the Virginia governor, but I guess this was the previous one before Ralph Northam.
Yeah,
that's why I got confused in my notes. I'm like, this is odd, because I thought Ralph Northam was the governor. But this shows you how far we've gone, because at this point, the fact that you can say that, and to the point where people are clapping and they're supporting this, people have absolutely become whipped and put into a position of where they enjoy that submission. And I do want to talk about that a little bit, but I also got to tell you that obviously as we go forward, you know, you may not be able to always control what your children are being taught, and the government may want to try to forcibly support you, but there's nothing better that you can honestly support than I'm talking about to the boys here, than your balls and your junk. Because honestly, as going forward, we're going to have to reproduce. We're going to have to remake a country. We're going to have to also keep these things safe and protected with the right support that you need, which is why I got to talk to you about Under Attack, because obviously Under Attack is the exact sort of sack that you need for the sack that you trust the most. These are not only, it's not only a company that I love that supports all of your rights, that supports what you love, unlike some of these other underwear companies that put rainbow bands. You know, I've said this, Savannah, you admit this. our viewers all have BDE.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You have to have BDE to watch our show, and you should probably buy Undertak underwear to help with that too.
If you have big dick energy and you need something that is tight and can actually hold your package in place, and you don't want to be out there showing off to everybody and letting them know that you're packing, right? They're already trying to make guns illegal. Can't show them you're hiding a secret weapon, but you want to breathe. You don't want the pilling, and you want a secret little pocket, you know, just in case you need to rapid reproduce in some case with your spouse, of course, consensually. I got to tell you, Undertak's amazing. I only have like 4 pairs, which is kind of amazing. But that's because if you buy 3, you get 1 free with the offer code OFFENSIVE. And these are cheaper than even the competitors with higher quality, in my opinion. They're amazing. They're comfortable. I have them actually in all 3 of these colors. I got an entire pack for myself. But go to undertak.com right now. That's undertak.com. And use promo code OFFENSIVE. That's UNDERTAC.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE. And get the best support for your junk. Again, don't go with these weird sissy brands. Actually protect yourself and support yourself until you find the right person who can take over the job from there. Anyway, I like them. I don't know if you've ever worn cheap boxers, but they suck.
Cheap boxers, yeah. I have not worn the Undertak, but I've worn cheap boxers and it's a drag.
Yeah, well, Undertaks are very nice. They're breathable. And I there's no way to transition that one. Do you know? Okay,
how do you come out of the drawers, you know, and just like go out of the drawers and into the news, you know, yeah. Right back in.
Like, you know, but like, because the point was, I think we were doing an episode on.
Yeah.
So like, because we obviously have to hit, like, people don't understand, you know, you have to hit the ads at a certain timing,
sure,
et cetera. But we're talking about, like, transgender kids and, like, them removing the genitals of children. Oh, and it's, like, no. Coming up on the screen, like, transition to underwear. And we're like, yeah. I was like, I'm not transitioning from a segment about kids' genitals being chopped off and, like, them wearing, like, prosthetics in their underwear to a boxer commercial.
Can we just switch the ads?
I was sitting, I cut the whole show. I was like, cut.
Yeah, we literally had to stop the show and like in post. I was like, okay, let's just retransition this whole thing.
Yeah, I was like, we have to change this whole ad because I can't do this anyway.
Smart.
No, but but kind of talking about this with like the ridiculousness is like that guy's a comedian, right? This guy's a governor. These are people that, you know, before we trusted institutions, we trusted these people around us, and now it seems like they're all on the same agenda.
Yeah.
And I don't understand when that happened. When it like every institution has been taken over by these people and this one way of thinking. Where it's like, I don't even mind that they think like that, but it's coming to the point where they're becoming so aggressive and so militant that they've become unokay with the way I think.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're trying to instigate war. And that's what it is. They're going, oh, well, so you're calling for violence. No, I'm not calling for violence. You're getting violent towards me and you're asking me not to want to defend myself.
Yeah.
You're getting aggressive. You're going into my kids' minds, into my kids' thought. You're going to my kids' genitals. You're going into into their media. You're going into my life, my movies. I mean, even the new Survivor, my poor wife. She was like, you know what? I didn't think you could make Survivor woke. And I go, tell me what happened. She goes, well, of course, you have the genderqueer character. We call them characters now. The transsexual character.
They are characters. I mean, it's not really reality shows. They're characters.
Yeah.
The people that are the most flamboyant and the most interesting are the ones that are going to be that people will want to watch.
Yeah, so the host comes out, she says, and he's like, because I guess he always says, I don't watch the show, but he always says, like, come on, guys, or let's go, guys, and uses that phrase.
Oh, no.
So he comes out and
goes.
You
can't say that anymore.
Well, yeah, but he comes out and goes, like, it's total fake. The first episode, he's like, I feel like I just got to, like, talk to everybody and figure out if we can still use the phrase, let's go, guys, because obviously it's not really inclusive. And so they ask the transsexual and the genderqueer. And ironically, unironically, they were just like, actually, we're not offended by that. That's totally okay. That doesn't offend me. And they still retired it. And we're like, well, we're going to go ahead and stop saying it because we really want to be more inclusive as a show. So they stopped using gendered language on the show Survivor. Like, this show's about people being sadistic and mean and like running around naked and drinking coconut water. This is a horrible show already.
Yeah, it is. It is the shows that do the best are the ones where people are cutting throats.
Yeah,
you know.
And it's into a show like that. Like, what can't these people touch? What can't they ruin? I mean, it was Trump who said everything woke turns to shit, but we've known that for a decade now.
That's true, but it's not even. Like you said, what can't these people ruin? The people that are ruining it, as much as are the, they're not like the transgender people. They're the activists. If you go on Twitter, right, and you get into an argument or debate with someone, the people that are the most aggressive and the most angry are people that are that tend to have the pronouns in their bio, right? If they'll, that's a joke that you see. It doesn't really matter if the people that you're having a discourse with are trans or not. It's the cis people that have their pronouns because they're allies. Those are the people that are the most aggressive and the most, you know, the most most aggressive, most, you know, you get the most vitriol out of. So it's not even about people that are, you know, happen to be trans or whatever, or gay or LGBT or whatever. It's the people that consider themselves allies that are out there defending the rights of the trans people that are really the most aggressive in the ones. And that's because it's an ideology. There are plenty of people that are trans and plenty of people that are gay and in the LGBTQ community that are that just want to live their life and be left alone, just like everybody else, you know. But it's the political activists, the people that consider themselves allies, those are the ones that have to force, you know, their opinion onto other people. So it's weird to say, or it's weird to think of it as just trans people or just the LGBT community, because it's so frequently not. It's the savior complex that that so many liberals in the U.S. have.
Phil, it's kind of like how you never see a "in this house we believe Black Lives Matter" sign. You never see that in the hood. You only see that in white affluent neighborhoods.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's very true.
You know, so. Or in Milwaukee, which is another degenerate place that I prefer not to visit. Sorry, people who live there. It's horrifying, even though I still speak there all the time.
I love Milwaukee.
I feel like Milwaukee is a city that doesn't know what it is. And I feel like it's you go there and first of all, if you get there in the few good months where it's not deathly cold.
This is true.
It's not deathly cold. I don't know if you've been there. I'm talking about post-COVID.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't been there post-COVID.
Yes,
no.
So I'm talking about post-COVID. It is a sad city that almost feels like any Midwestern city at the verge of the steel mills closing.
Oh, no.
You know, it's got just the buildings are shut down. The homeless are roaming around. Mm-hmm. It's dirty. It's violent. And you just look around and it's like a lost city. And post-COVID and people there are so scared of COVID and they're so militantly left. And it doesn't make any sense because they're also not that wealthy. Milwaukee is not necessarily the most affluent region in the country. These are a lot of blue collar people. There are the nice neighborhoods, of course, but you go there and it's like the lost fallen American city of dreams that will never come back alive. That's what it feels like now.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a special place in my heart for Milwaukee, just because there was this big festival back in the day there, the Milwaukee Metal Fest, and it was like the metal mecca. So I've always had a bit of love.
The golden days.
It was, yeah, you know, and also, you know, being a dude from like the underground death metal bands and stuff, that's where Jeffrey Dahmer was, and that was kind of like always something that we all of me and my friends that were into like the gore metal were like, that's so creepy, you know, and like horror movie stuff. So
you know what I'm gonna realize tonight, because I didn't do this properly because the show's different, I'm gonna ask you a bit tonight about what it's like to be in a rock band.
Okay.
Because we'll get into that tonight. And that's, if you guys were curious about that, if you're watching this and you weren't curious, make sure. And we also, Alex Jones is going to be on tonight with you as well, which is ironic because you guys were completely booked separately. It was an accident. And then you guys were just on Tim Pool and now you're back on another show.
And I will do everything I can to get that man fired up tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be tonight, by the way, at 7 p.m. Eastern time. But like we were talking about with seeping into things, I mean, you said with like the militancy. Look at this. Okay, so like available on Amazon, you can now for Christmas, number one bestseller, by the way, it's a number one bestseller for our blind viewers. This is a nativity set for Christmas indoor Holy Family figurine decoration and display on mantle or windowsill in nativity figures. Masked Jesus, like the Jesus.
Even the baby's masked.
The baby carrot Jesus is masked. And the Joseph's masked and Mary's masked. And, you know, it's really interesting because it's just so insufferable. And what I think that the person that made this is actually probably smart. Like, I think a lot of the people who make these don't believe them. They're just trying to cash off of people. But that doesn't make me upset that someone tried to make this. It's a number one bestseller, Phil.
It's gross.
Like,
you know the worst part about this too, Elijah, is that so someone posted this on Instagram and I was like, what's wrong with it? And it actually took me like a good 10 seconds to realize that the face masks were there because I'm so used to seeing them now that I didn't even realize it at first. So
I'm going to find this. I'm going to find this. We're going to add this to the diversity collection. Actually, yeah, we're going to add to this. We have a diversity collection where we just collect things that are horrible and like kind of racist and discriminatory and bigoted. And we haven't gone away. Like we have to represent all the groups,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like we have like a disabled black Barbie and like, we're trying to get a Gollywog from Australia, which are like the little like black remakes with like the black face dolls. But people send them to us. We have this really
the Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah, stereotypical like puppet that kind of makes fun of Middle Eastern people that an Arabic guy sent to us. People send us just effed up stuff.
No, we're appreciating the culture. We're not making fun of it. We're appreciating the culture.
We love it.
It's only like looked at as like insensitive or whatever here. Like if a Middle Eastern guy sent that over to you, I'm sure people in the Middle East.
He bought it in the Middle East.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so offended that they made this doll. You know, like I guarantee he's just like, oh, you know, it's funny because of the context surrounding the United States, not because of the Middle East or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you know what? The people that actually love our inappropriate humor on the show are the people that people think get offended.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually, people think they call us transphobic and racist and bigoted. And it's like actually kind of funny because there is like a lot of people that are out there that will even have debates and they're like, oh my gosh, it was so mean. You know, this Amir guy is a black gay guy. It's so savage. I'm like, him and I are friends in real life.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to speak for me. And, you know, some of these people that we even have on here, I'm like, we actually give a voice to a lot of different thoughts and perspectives. And a lot of the people will enjoy it. Just like I love good humor. Mm-hmm. If you want to make fun of, you know, things about men or, you know, in good faith about women, I actually want to show you this. We've lost the humor in all of this. And I would say this is both humor and truthful, especially in terms of Savannah. I didn't realize how based commercials were back in the day. I'm not that old. I'm 28 years old. And so I didn't live around politically incorrect commercials. I found this Goodyear commercial from, I think, the 70s.
It's not politically incorrect. It's just accurate. No, everyone, let's be honest.
Everyone's complaining that it was sexist. This is what's going on right now. This is a sexist commercial.
Good.
I want you to play it because it's totally epic. Let's play this video.
Depending on how you drive and your car's condition, you can get incredible mileage from the Goodyear Custom Wide Tread Polyglass Tire.
I've got 32,000 miles on my tires.
I've got 41,000 miles on my Polyglass.
But Polyglass means more than mileage when your wife has to drive alone.
It's so epic. It's the scary music.
I love it.
The tires are the shock. She's on a construction site. Look, she's like squinting, doesn't know where she's going.
It's not only is she a woman, she's a woman and she's like 100, right?
Yeah, do you see her look at herself in the mirror for a second?
It's the quick zoom ins on the tire for me.
This is Don't Walk. It's like, stop. She's like, what do I do? And she needs
when a woman's at the wheel.
When a woman's at the wheel. Then he just boots her over. Get out of here.
Oh, my wife.
I'll take it from you.
I swear, you know, you ever seen bumpers on a bowling lane? That's what rims are for women on cars.
Oh, yeah.
They're just little metal protectors so that you can't actually pop the tires.
Yeah.
Because I got custom rims on my wife's SUV. They're very nice and gray. And now they have patterns on them horizontal and vertical lines where they're scratched up. Every spoke is scratched up. I don't know how she does it.
Phil, so the best part about Elijah showing me this as well is that I actually just blew out two of my tires a couple days ago and the cops had to come pick me up because I jumped a curb.
Yeah.
And you got two speeding tickets.
Yeah.
And I also just got pulled over. Oh, I also just got pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt. And the cop gave me a card and he said, if you feel like you've been racially discriminated against, please call this number. And I was like, do you give this to white people too?
And you got a ticket for the wrong address on your license.
Yeah. You know what? Dude, last year made me pro please. Oh, now I'm anti please. And anyways, yeah, that is how women drive as a woman who's also Asian and brown. Yeah, we're crap drivers. I'm not going to lie.
That's hilarious. All the stereotypes into one.
I know. You know what John said to me the other day, Elijah? He said that I drive with the incompetence of an Asian and the aggression of a Mexican. And it's true. It's so true.
The incompetence of an Asian and the aggression of a Mexican.
It's true. She has like the two worst combinations. It's like it's both of the girlfriends that would kill you.
Time is money, baby.
But
I got
combined
places to be.
Together. I know. Yeah. So she has the kung fu moves and the sass.
I didn't know. I've never heard that Asian women would kill you. I've heard that
Filipino woman.
Filipino. Oh, okay. All right.
They'll throw a sandal like they're James Bond and you're the next villain.
Yeah, Elijah was scared of me for the first couple of months we started working together because he was just like, am I going to get stabbed today? And I was like, I don't know. Are you, Elijah?
I was like, this is why we had the Immigration Act to keep you people out.
That's why you're not allowed to bring guns in here. In Texas, I saw the signs with the door. I was like, oh, man, I'm surprised.
Well, you're not legally allowed to bring guns in here because Glenn Beck and people have private security. We have like security reasons. That doesn't mean that most people don't end up actually carrying them in here.
Good stuff.
I think it just means if the wrong people carry them, we could ask you to
leave.
Yes. Because we get weird people here.
I'm sure.
People approach us in the parking lots and things like that. That's why now we have armed security and stuff, because it just gets weird.
Yeah. That actually doesn't surprise me, considering the level of notoriety that Glenn Beck has.
Yeah. If you go Google Glenn Beck's net worth, and you're going to feel really poor.
I'm
not going to say it on here, but Google his net worth. Go to Google or DuckDuckGo, wherever. By the way, I found out DuckDuckGo is not better than Google, and that they're colluding with the same thing. They're now doing the same hiring practices where they're looking for transgenders and stuff. And you know how that works. Mm-hmm. When you start looking for people based off of look and class, then you end up getting a mindset, and then culture of the company changes, mm-hmm. and the company collapses internally into a leftist nightmare. Anyway, DuckDuck goes down the tubes for me. But I was saying with the commercial, though, back to that for a second, is it's funny because you look at that, and today everyone's arguing that that's sexist.
That's awesome. I don't care what anyone says. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Talk to any man with a wife. Like, we literally... I don't let her drive.
My ex-wife destroyed all the rims on my Jeep. She wanted to take it. She was working in D.C. She was working in D.C. And they have curbs down there. She took my Jeep for a weekend, drove it down there, came back. All the wheels were scratched up.
So you're not supposed to bump the rims into the concrete barriers?
Yes, you are, honey.
Oh. And that's what we tell people. That's what we tell people. Say, say, don't buy a new car for teenagers. Like, just don't buy them for women because they will break your heart. But actually, you know what sucks is I just got a new car recently.
I just got a text from my wife and she's pissed.
No, it's like I just got a new car recently, and we have a garage where it's parked. Someone broke into the garage, like jacked cars next to mine, and also hit my car while they apparently were in the process of this, or scratched up the side of it. And it's going to be like $7,000 or $8,000 for body repair.
I love living in cities. It's so great.
Yeah. Not a fun thing. Anyway, I was going to say, so, and, you know, there's also, I don't know, criminals and women mess up cars apparently. And I've also gotten my
criminal
catalytic.
Criminal women too. Yeah. I'm sure they're criminal
double
women.
Double whammy.
Yeah, they'll slash your tires. They'll slash your tires and scratch your rims.
They'll steal your cars, slash your tires, scratch your rims. And then yell at you for not leaving her enough room to get in the car.
I know. Let me see. Okay. So, yeah. Speaking of that, it's like we also have some of this interesting thing, too, is since we're on the topic of women and the weirdness of women, actually, this is weird. Is like the idea of women not being good drivers is the fun part, where society has always been that, you know, women have strengths, men have strengths, women have weaknesses, men have weaknesses, and we complement each other. It's quite nice, actually, if you're in the right dynamic to where you can complement one another. But apparently, you know, women have been acknowledged with this hatred of men. And so we have masked Jesus. Our tires are politically correct today. And if we can go to video 7, there's also this pervading acknowledgement that, you know, men are evil and that men are actually racist if we're not trans. I don't even know what this video is. Can we play this video 7?
Whoa.
I'm here to double down on the video that made me go viral. Oh, most men are rapists. And by that, I mean most cis heteronormative men. There's a reason we say we live in a rape culture. Most rapes go unreported, some even unknown. And the way rape is portrayed and glamorized in movies and media misrepresents what most rape actually looks like. Let's just look at the updated definition of rape so that everybody's clear. Penetration, no matter how slight, of the vagina or anus or any other body part or object, or oral penetration by a sex organ of another person without the consent of the victim. Are you buying somebody drinks with the goal of getting them drunk enough so that they can't consent? Rapist. Coercing somebody into sex. Rapist. Guilting or manipulating someone into having sex with you? Rapist. Dating coaches and pickup artists have normalized this kind of behavior. And if you engage in any of those things, you'll be known as a rapist.
You'll be
just
known.
Is the tip joke funny now?
Huh.
Actually, now it's funnier.
Yeah, and also, ma'am, you could also put... They always talk about preventing sexual assault while they intentionally bring their breasts into the shot. I have to bring that up. It is... Oh, we talk about this on the show. Savannah, 10 times out of 10, when they are talking about sexual assault or something inappropriate they want to stop, they have low-cut shirts and make sure that parts of their breasts are visible.
Yeah, I would show That's what it weird looks thing. Like, but yeah, no boobs. But basically, it's always their face. Face this and then boobs.
We just bring that out. That it's like it's definitely an attention-seeking moment where they want to lecture you and be morally superior and tell you something, but also I gotta look cute while saying it.
Yeah. It's stupid.
I know, and you know what, but you know what's funny too is that I love this when she goes, I love how the same person that will tell you that, you know, coercing someone into doing something they don't want to do is rape, but also vaccine mandates are legit.
Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous. I mean the whole thing is ridiculous. The whole context that she lays out, the idea that trying to win someone's favor by, you know, going out and going to a bar and buying them drinks and talking to them. I mean, if you're looking to get a girl blackout drunk or putting drugs in her drink, okay, that's rape. That's clear. But if you're just like, if you buy a couple drinks and you're talking to someone in a social context, it is not rape if she decides to go home with a guy who bought her a couple drinks. Like, the idea that social situations are inherently rape situations throws an absolute mess into how people interact socially, and it's probably why there are a lot of men that are just like, well, I'm not going to go out and try and talk to anyone because it's not worth it, you know. But I think it's clear that just going into social situations with members of the opposite sex is not rape, you know.
Is that why everybody's identifying as bisexual today? I was reading a study that it's like it's some staggering number of individuals. Compared to 10 years ago, I don't know if they're open or they're out or if people have always been like this, but a huge staggering portion of the LGBTQ community, sure, or whatever they're calling it today, are really just bisexual. Like the B is the biggest part. Mm-hmm. They're actually bisexual. And that's the fastest growing number of people. And I wonder if these weird interactions and the way that we've changed things between opposite genders has kind of just left people to abandon traditional sense at all. And they're just kind of looking for these random illicit hookups. I wonder if that's like kind of why hookup culture is so popular too, because people are just like, look, I'm not going to go through the bullshit. We're just going to do our thing and we're just going to do whatever. I'm going to be open to whatever comes my way. I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, I'm just reading that. I'm like, I wonder if that's connected.
I don't know. And I don't know how many people are actually bisexual. I mean, maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's young people that are identifying as bisexual more.
Yeah, I think it's not even millennials. I think it's 24 and under. Gen Zs, yeah, are the ones that are all bisexual. I guess you're just, it's the Kool-Aid.
Maybe. I think that it's probably because it's a, being in the LGBT group, is kind of a way to be a little different, I guess, even though it's not really all that different nowadays, with like a whole gay pride month and everything like that. It's not like it's some kind of, it's not odd. It doesn't make you interesting because of your sexuality. But I think that there is a group of people that, or a portion of the young people think that having a sexuality that is not what they would consider vanilla makes them interesting, but your sexuality isn't a personality. Those are two different things.
And for many people, it is.
Well, I'm sure you're right. And
I'm sure you've met them.
Yeah. It's
the ones
it's
that are
exhausting.
Gay and then you know their name.
Like, it's exhausting.
They're gay first.
Yes.
And then you know who they are.
Yeah.
The water turned the freaking kids gay, you guys.
Yeah. But that,
hey, let's talk to Alex about that tonight. What he thinks, why everyone's becoming bisexual.
Of course. Yes. Absolutely.
I want to understand.
I want to know.
Yeah. I want to know his idea, because yes, the point is that I was reading a study recently, and this is why I'm saying younger people, is that one study I read was that 56% of junior hires consider themselves LGBTQ right now at one school.
Of junior high.
Yeah.
That's like,
I didn't even know.
11, 12, 13 years old. They shouldn't be.
I couldn't even have sex. I think physically tall was probably like in eighth grade or going into eighth grade, seventh. Like my sexuality, like I was thinking about, I bought Legos in seventh grade. I don't know what kids are doing today. Maybe it's the porn, but like I made stop motion videos with Legos in my camera. Like that's what I was doing in seventh grade, buying Ninja Legos still. I
blame TikTok.
I was playing guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, I was playing drums. All right.
There you go.
All right. That's I was, good. But the reason, you know what, you want to know why I hate kids? No, I'm just kidding. I love kids, but you know why I don't play drums anymore?
Why?
Because a woman moved in next door who had a baby, and she would complain and complain and complain until legally I wasn't even allowed to play my drums anymore.
Ooh.
And a white woman stopped my dreams. All I wanted to do was be a drummer.
Yeah.
And she destroyed my dreams. And I had a nice set. A wealthy guy I knew from my church bought me a DW drum set.
Ooh, DW is nice.
Yeah, especially for one to learn on, a start. Great sound. Beautiful. Black pearl outer coat. And I ended up having to sell it because my parents did, because we were not able to use it. Luckily, the church was able to buy it and use it for the stage. But I feel like that was my first interaction with a Karen ruining my life.
Nowadays, you can get an electric kit and they're much quieter.
Yeah, because they're good now. But back then, it was a little more.
Yeah.
They didn't sound so good.
Nowadays, they sound great.
Did you see Tim's electric kit? Yeah. That one's not. I thought that was nice. I was playing that a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice. And nowadays, with all the plugins that are available in any kind of DAW, whether it be Pro Tools or Cubase or whatever, you can have a nice sounding drum kit and play it and, you know, earphones and, you know, play
and put on something nice.
Yeah, and Karen will never know.
Maybe I'll actually buy one. Maybe I should get back into it. Maybe that's my lost dream.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know? I think that we should get one up here in the studio. Anyway, before we go any further, I got to let you guys know something. Obviously, you know in your life that things in this world don't make sense. And one thing that doesn't make sense at all is the attack on the family structure, but also health insurance. So, you know, you're either in one of two positions. You either don't have health insurance, and so if you get into a medical emergency, you're screwed, or you do have health insurance. And if you're in that second group, you probably have high deductibles that will still leave you screwed if anything major happens in your life with all these types of bills, which is why you have to do something a step further, whether you're insured or not, and join the Safety Net community. If you go to safetynet.club, that's safetynet.club, you're going to join a community of people and get options for products that can actually help you to take your health into your own hands, either for yourself or your family. Let me explain. So obviously you end up in a position, you get into a car accident, something bad happens to you, you lose a limb, you lose an eye. Just by joining the community today, you automatically in those situations would get a $10,000 payout, like a sort of a disability to help you to recover costs while you're waiting for your disability to kick in, or if you don't have it, so you don't go bankrupt and you can eat. That's cool. Also, sadly, as we talked about earlier, if you die and you have your real estate will, well, guess what? Your family gets left with a dumb bill to pay for your funeral. The last thing you want to do is leave your family screwed to cover the cost of your death. So they'll also give $10,000 to your family to pay for your funeral costs or to help cover bills. For instance, if you're a new couple or whatever happens, you don't have savings. That's cool. Just for joining. That's your AD&E insurance. So it's like you already get $10,000 life security for joining. But also, if you end up getting into an emergency, you end up getting into a car accident, something bad happens in your life, you know, you go to the emergency room and then you all have no way to cover all those high deductibles and all that stuff. Well, guess what? For about $15 a month, you can actually get accident coverage. Like, this is one of the things, that's what I like from them. For $15 a month, about $15 for me at least, they'll cover the gaps in your insurance and the bills that you get, which is a no-brainer because I'm kind of stupid and I get into dumb I get into dumb things and I get punched and stuff for what I do and the things that I say. So anyway, if you want to join the Safety Net community, I encourage you to join to get your $10,000 AD&D insurance at no cost to you. And also check out today what they can offer in the products to help fill the gaps in your insurance or to offer products if you don't have insurance at all. Go to safetynet.club. That's safetynet.club. That's safetynet. Yeah. And so with these, with this, by the way, this is so great. I love the Safety Net community. And the idea of like what's going on in the world and like how things are crazy. Do we have, I don't think we can play music here, but we have the Australian stormtroopers, obviously with things going crazy in the world. I don't know if you know this. My wife's Australian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know.
A lot of my family's Australian. My Australian family was here. They left right before it got crazy and they just went back today actually. My co-host Sydney tonight, she's an Australian citizen and her family's here. And you look at this, do you see what they're doing to people? Look at this. This is what we're in. This is why you need a safety net, but also
just for going and being being out in public and you're just, okay, beat the snot out of them.
You can curse on this podcast.
Okay. Beat the shit out of them. Yeah. Know? Like, come on.
Really? I know, you know, and this is what's crazy is that this is a perfect example that Mike Cernovich said proves of how well removing the right to gun ownership works. Mm-hmm. This is a class lesson to show you that the desired effect of removing a population's firearms works very well.
Yep.
And this just shows, this shows two things. Either it shows you not to give up your guns, but also shows other governments how necessary it is, like in the United States, to try to still remove our guns, because they need that in order to do this. Because I don't think Americans would put up with this shit. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think that things like this being, you know, being spread around the U.S., you know, so you see what's going on in Australia and these images making their way around the U.S., I think that it makes people that are gun owners and that are more independently minded, it makes them dig in. There's a lot of people that are anti-gun, private gun ownership, that think that the reason that gun legislation or anti-gun legislation has not been passed is because the NRA. And that is an error. The reason that there hasn't been any significant anti-gun legislation is because it is unpopular with some of the most motivated to vote individuals in the U.S. And I think that stuff like that only reinforces the idea of, hey, you need to be able to defend yourself from you know, aggression up to and including state aggression.
Yeah. And obviously, what's so crazy to me is how many people they say support the totalitarian medical tyranny. It's
They're
just
lying.
Tyranny. I don't think it's as many as they say. Even Australians think that most Australians are in line with this. I think they have the same problem we have here, where there's a vocal like 8% of people that make it seem that everyone's on board. But when someone like Avi Yemeni, do you know who that is?
Nope.
Great journalist. You should follow him. One of the last remaining good journalists in Australia that has a press license that's able to capture this. A lot of legal issues with police, of course, and being mistreated. He's been going out and doing something smart. He's just been interviewing people and asking people in front of grocery stores, what do you think about the police being... and checking your ID to go into a grocery store. And nobody's happy. And they go up to him. People are buying him coffee. They're asking him how they can support him. People are not supporting this stuff. But of course, it's the same thing in every Western country. They go, oh, look, I like Boris Johnson today. You know, I got to walk back my stance on the vaccine passports. We might need to do them because it looks like it's actually more popular than we thought.
Yeah.
It's not popular. Nobody did ask for it. Nobody's asking for these. And all they do is amplify a few voices and celebrities and go, look, we got to do it. It's the will of the people. And it's like, nobody's asking for higher taxes. Nobody's asking to be subjugated. Nobody wants to be beaten to submission. Nobody wants to be pistol whipped into putting on a mask. That's nobody's wanting that.
Nobody's asking for it. And nobody's asking for the things that you're talking about, but there are people asking the government to do to others the things that you're talking about.
Ooh.
So you're right. There's no one saying, hey, come oppress me, come beat me, come take my rights. But there are unquestionably a vocal minority in the U.S. that are asking the government to violate the rights of other people. And they will ostensibly say that they believe that it's for the good of all the people or the good of the country or whatever. But really what it is it is to harm people that are on the other team. And I think that that is an honest take. There's a lot of people that you can read stories from that have been in authoritarian countries. And the population quickly realizes that you can use the government to harm people that you don't like by turning them in or whatever, which you see, you know, you see here in the U.S. when it comes to the people that want to film someone that's not wearing a mask in a place that they decide you should be wearing a mask, and they want to go ahead and put it on the internet and make it go viral, and hopefully these people will lose their job or whatever. But there is definitely a segment of the population that is interested in using the government to assert their will over their fellow citizens. And that's why it's pretty malicious, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. Because if you look at this tweet from Jennifer Nuzzo, of course, she tries to make Dr. PH right there, tries to make it seem like, okay,
Dr.
I'm not,
PH?
I don't know what that means. Is that Dr. PhD?
Maybe. I mean,
medical doctor, she has an MD and a PhD?
Maybe.
Unless that's a certain thing, DRPH. I don't know what that degree is. Maybe I'm sounding stupid here, but I don't know that what that means off the top of my head.
I'll sound stupid with you. It's fine.
Savannah, if you could look that up for a second. You can leave the screen like this. So Jennifer
Nuzzo. Doctor of Public Health, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that was an official. I didn't know that was an official lettering. They always make up new letterings. These academics. You always see so many letters. You're like, look, I don't know what any of those mean. You're either retarded or you're not. So you either know what you're talking about, even if I don't like what you're talking about, you're making sense,
sure,
and that's fine. Or you're like this woman, who of course deflects her deep-seated hatred for those who are not vaccinated by quoting the New York Times analysis saying, Trump supporters believe they are owning the left by refusing to take a life-saving vaccine. Which, first of all, I debunked this to her. I go, Trump supporters don't think they're owning the left by not getting the vaccine, because this is technically Trump's vaccine. This was Trump's sanctioning. I know this was in development for a while, but this is Trump's vaccine. How are you owning the left by a project that was put into place and executed primarily by the president that they all like? So there you go. You're dumb. So it's refusing to take a life-saving vaccine. We'll just say that YouTube says it is a life-saving vaccine. I am not personally as convinced about certain things, but I'm not a doctor. Okay. So she is. She goes, in a country where elections are decided on razor-thin margins, does it not benefit one side if their opponent simply dropped dead? And I bring that up because it's funny that they're kind of saying what we all know they're thinking.
Yeah.
Is I think they're actually mad that people who aren't vaccinated aren't just dropping dead. That's what they're mad about. Because what they really want, they're going, we kind of want you guys to die.
Yeah.
And that's what you're hearing in all of this. It's like, well, we can't get you to die yet, so we're going to make your life horrible. And it's like here they're making it more difficult. In Australia, especially New South Wales and Victoria, they'll actually beat the shit out of you if you resist. But that's the point. It's like we're going to keep pushing this until literally like we can just execute you, because that's what she's saying. It's like, wouldn't it benefit us if really the other side wasn't existent?
Anyone that will say something like that or tweet something like that thinks that it would be better if the people that just disagreed with them would die, and they would support loading people into prisons, gulags, whatever you want to call them, boxcars, however you want to hyperbolically state it. If you think it's overkill, I don't give a shit. Like, they would unironically say, yes, those people are the bad people and they need to be physically removed from society without hesitation. There's no part of me that doesn't believe that they absolutely want to see people they disagree with removed from society in some way, whether it be killing people or just tossing them into prison or taking them out of the public sphere by getting rid of their ability to have a bank account, getting rid of their ability to comment on social media. Essentially, just if they can't kill them or throw them in jail, unperson them to the point where they can't work, can't provide for their family, and eventually they die destitute. That's what those people want. And there is no part of me that thinks or that could be made to believe something else. There are people out there that want to see other people that disagree with them die.
Yeah, look at that. Right here, description, epidemiology and global health security policy. This is about creating policies, like actual things that would affect through law. These are like the eugenicists and people that worked for Hitler. I mean, these people, by the way, being from the scientific community, these are absolute narcissists. And there is a total elitism where they think that they're better than everybody. Yep. And just so you know, there's a reason why we have so many regulatory agencies and things to hold these people back, because these are some sick people. You should even see the sex stuff they're into and stuff. These people that are nerds that have been repressed, made fun of. A lot of these kinks come out of, like, even you think it's the rock stars that are into these crazy kinks. Believe me, it's these PhDs that are buying spaces in dungeons and getting women to walk on their balls with heels and stuff. It's these people. It's true. They're into some sick stuff. I know. But I'm just saying, like, it's interesting. If you go back here for a second, she's quoting the analysis by David Leonard, is a senior writer of the New York Times. It's like, this is so crazy that the New York Times, one of the senior publications of the United States, is suggesting that, well,
the paper of record.
Yeah. This is the best case scenario here, really, on our end, is if you guys all just went away.
Progressivism, whether you're talking about progressivism today or progressivism of the early 20th century, they believe that they can remake man. And that's whether you're talking about the new Soviet man, it's all like Nietzschean ideas of the Übermensch, you know, the overman, the perfected human. That's one of the things that you consistently see coming from progressives. They believe that the sins of mankind can be fixed through science and, you know, proper upbringing. They believe that everything is a situation of nurture and that nature has nothing to do with it. And it's not one over the other. It's a mix of both. And you know, people like that, they look at humankind and they say, well, we just have to get rid of the bad ones and the people that have the bad ideas. And then we'll only be left with people that have the good ideas. And, you know, that's how you end up murdering millions of people.
You know, on that note, Phil Labonte, the amazing musician from All That Remains, vocalist, I should say, and musician. So you have a pretty killer voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to say epic. And I'm surprised it's lasted. Has it changed over the years? Has it lasted? I mean, because, you know, the vocal cords, sure, they're folds. There's nodules, different things happen.
It's a little deeper nowadays, but I've always had a fairly deep voice.
Well, at least you can always get into radio because you have, you can always get into podcasting as you are because it's a nice voice. Well, I want you to know, check out his music. It is really amazing. Also realize he will be live tonight with Alex Jones on You Are Here. We're also having Alex Jones exclusive for this show on Friday. Well, he's recording earlier, but we're going to do a little deep dive into who is Alex Jones, looking into his past and try to understand why he's so dangerous. Like, why is Alex Jones dangerous and why? And like, where did this start? You know what I mean? Like, we want to get into it with him, his history.
I think that Alex Jones is dangerous because he's not afraid. And there's a lot of people out there that might take issue with this, but not afraid to look silly when he's talking about things he's passionate about. You know, he's not afraid. He doesn't hold back. He's not concerned with, you know, if he's going to be, saying things that are, outside of the accepted norms, you know.
I love him.
I think he's hilarious.
I think you either think he's a genius or at least appreciate the method acting. Like, I mean, if you think he's full of shit, at least admit he's the greatest actor in the world. Then if you think people that think he's not honest, that's what I'm saying. There's people that are like, well, I don't think he believes what he's saying. It's like, then give him the best performance in the world. I think he believes what he's saying.
He takes a kernel of truth and then makes a show out of it.
When he took ivermectin on air,
it's the funniest thing ever. I heard about that. I didn't see that, but I heard about that.
And then he drank a Topo Chico. He took it with Topo Chico, and he was like,
"That's the best. I love it,
dude." The best meme I saw was with the, as we wrap this up, with the border police with the horses. Mm-hmm. The best quote I saw was someone said, if you want to piss the libs off even more, let them know those horses were taking ivermectin. You know, so it's like, I thought that was so good.
I love it.
All right. Well, anyway, as we wrap this up, guys, like I said at the end, we always read your reviews. That's Phil Labonte, pronounced Phil Labonte. It's even pronounced perfectly here. Vocalist for All That Remains. We will read your review at the end. Also remember that Savannah picks them. So there's that. Let's go ahead and let's read a couple of reviews from the podcast. Thank you guys so much for signing up. We got a review from Shock Awesome. Says, number one based podcast, Elijah and Sav are genuinely the funniest people on Blaze TV. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. That could also mean that we're not that funny, or it could mean that we genuinely are funny. God, who knows?
How many comedy shows does the Blaze have, though?
A few? Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, you're top out of the three, I think.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not saying much, right? It's like, of their shows, doesn't mean you guys are funny, but of their shows, you're funny. Their shows are always 100% based, and although the majority of the time they just roast fat people on TikTok, which is true, it's true, which is now against Facebook's policies. Oh. We 90-day ban for criticizing obesity now.
Well, that just means there's going to be more heavy people.
Heavy metal, heavy people. It's always funny, too. Do you ever notice over the years that a lot of the people that were like thin and on drugs and stuff are now like obese?
There's a lot of large people in America.
Yeah. It's like these rock stars that look like they were emaciated, anorexic, or like...
Well, I mean,
now,
you know, when you're doing, you're railing lines of coke for two decades and then you stop because your heart's going to give out, you know, the pounds pack on quickly. That's not me, but.
No, I'm sure you've seen it all.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
It says, there are moments where they make me rethink some of my political and cultural stances. That's great. Don't stop being slightly offensive. P.S. Bring back the diversity coalition. They never went away. They are just busy being re-educated in gulags right now so they can re-educate us. Anyway, thank you for that review. We also review from Sir Spence a lot. Says, dis show fire, fire, no cap, no emoji. This homie E-Shave steady kicking it with at least two hot broads coming through with the alpha energy, shoving clown pills down all these beta cucks' throat. When the kid Johnny D pull up, they get wild and talking dash she is a vibe.
That's one of the best reviews I've ever seen. on the internet.
That's why I picked it. That's why I picked it.
That is a home run. Good
anyway,
job.
Anyway, I want to let you know, if you go to YouTube, subscribe here on YouTube. Also, if you go to blazetv.com/Elijah, I think right now we actually are giving $25 off. I think we're still offering that. I'm not sure. It could be $10 off our subscription, which makes it cheaper than Netflix, where you get all these shows. And honestly, even tonight with Alex, we're going to be doing half of it on YouTube, and then we're going to take it off air, and we're going to go hard on vaccines and everything on Blaze TV, which is the fun part where we actually get to talk shit without censors. So that's why you need a Blaze TV subscription. And also in the future, Sav, do you know this? We're taking the show live, and we're, this show's going to be going live.
Our show.
Yes. A long term.
Excellent.
And then because we're demonetized, mm-hmm. we're going to be having a last segment on Blaze TV where we take comments from Blaze TV and interact with the audience on Blaze TV, the SOB. So that's really cool too. It's kind of a workaround to not having super chats of like, we'll just go behind the paywall and take questions from the paywall. Smart. So that'll be really cool. So that'll give you more bang for your buck. Anyway, my name is Elijah Schaefer, and I'm the host of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. As always, the confetti of color. Give a little more to Phil. Savannah, you get some as well. There you go. Savannah's back. She's feeling better.
We're back. I missed you guys last week. I'm glad the show survived without me.
It barely did. Anyway, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.